This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hello. We're back with the Defocus Media podcast, and this is a girls-only edition, but if you are a male viewer, we are so happy to have you with us today. Daryl, unfortunately, cannot make it because he is traveling again. This guy racks up miles all the time, but that's how he's out in the world, talking to students, encouraging people to pursue optometry. So he's doing some amazing work here. And we're doing amazing work on the show today with a friend of the pod, Dr. Ari Farkash.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you. It's been a minute since we've gotten together. So thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for having me on. And Daryl, if you're somewhere listening, hello. And hello to everybody else.
So Dr. Farkash, obviously you need no introduction, but I would love to give you a chance to talk about what you've been up to. Obviously, you are at Glam Optometrist, for those not familiar, and that name probably... I don't know. I mean, do you have people coming up to you to say, oh, hi, Glam Optometrist, like instead of your real name?
It's really funny. Like, you know, I don't have that many followers, but we were in Mexico and somebody came up to me and said, hey, aren't you the Glam Optometrist? I'm like, what? How do you even know that? And I mean, I haven't been as active as I was, and we'll get into why and everything like that. So maybe the newbies don't know who I am. I know there's a lot of new ODs on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, since you and I got started. So I guess we're the seniors at it, or the veterans of Instagram.
Veterans is a nicer way of putting it. But my gray hair says seniors, yes.
So I've got some going on as well. They started a few months ago. but yeah, so for anybody who doesn't know me, I started the blog Glam Optometrist in 2016, and that's where Dr. Lyerly and I met on Instagram with the blog. And from there, I think there wasn't that many, I guess you want to say influencers, optometry influencers back then. So, you know, we both kind of just made a name for ourselves, started reaching out to brands, and that's kind of where the partnerships happened with different brands. And the blog also just wanted to reach as many people as possible to really educate them about the eyes, as well as, hey, optometry is not nerdy. It's really cool, and we're badasses. And I think that point got across, and then slowly, you know, things started picking up on social media with other docs, which is great. The more, the merrier.
I really, and, you know, yeah. I consider you like the OG optometry influencer. Because before your account, I really, you know, optometrists, there were a few of us that had accounts talking about optometry, but we were very much targeted just to other ODs, and we weren't branding or styling ourselves that would truly be appealing to like an average person to learn more about optometry. And you really broke through and kind of showed us like, hey, everybody could learn about eyes. Everybody could think eyes are cool and fashionable and glamorous. And I think it kind of showed our profession, the young people on optometry Instagram, like what truly is possible, and inspired people to really rethink how they were doing things. So it was really incredible.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did notice, you know, after maybe a year of being on there that yes, more accounts started popping up. Just again, to the, what do you call it? Non-optometry world showing off. And I love that. It's not about competition. It shouldn't be about that. You know, it should be about working together, and, you know, Defocus does such a great job at that as well. It's just being a community to support each other, and getting just messaging out there that's positive.
So it's so crazy, like 2016, it sounds like yesterday, but really we're talking about like 7 years ago now. And so in that time, there's been a ton of change on social media as a platform. What do you think are some of the changes you've seen in optometry social media?
One, the reels. Let's be real. Reels are in. I know when I got started, there was no such thing as reels. Videos were kind of coming in. I love the static posts, truthfully. I love seeing beautiful pictures and fun pictures. But the reels, I guess, is where it's at. And it's, I like to call it real-time information and snippets. I myself learn a lot from a reel, depending on, you know, what I'm looking for. Right now I'm in the newborn mama stage, so I've been looking at a lot of reels about that. But I think that's really taken over, and it's a learning curve to do a reel. I think once you get it, it's really fast. But this is just like fast-paced information. Sometimes it can just get too much. I don't know. That's my opinion.
I think there's obviously like the way content is so video driven, so short format driven, has some major pros and cons. One, it does, you know, you have to be authentically yourself. Like, you're not going to have someone else's photograph and be able to like pretend or style it like it was your own. Like, you can copy something in a photo pretty easily, but to make a whole real video, like, that's not really happening. You really do have to be putting yourself out there. So I think there's some major pros on that. At the same time, it makes social media creation so much more time consuming, so much more difficult. So if you're making high quality posts, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna spend 5 minutes and post today. Like, the creation of good content takes longer than ever. And that saps some of the enjoyment and community building out of it. After you spent so long to create your post, then to like comment and talk and interact with other people, you're like, I gotta get off this platform. It's driving me crazy now.
Oh, 100%. You made it a really, really good point is time. There's so much time that goes into creating content. And now it's become a little bit harder. We all have our own jobs or practices. We all have families on top of that. And then, creating this content, and then you post it. Okay, what if that content you did a whole day, you're researching, blah, 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 and then creating it, it took an hour, you posted it, and then nothing. It doesn't even get seen. Or the opposite, it gets seen, you have to comment everybody. It's just a lot. It's a lot of work. And like you said, it could take away from the enjoyment of what it used to be, which was it just for fun, posting and getting educational content out there. That's one, thing that I've seen that's really changed. Second, more people are on social media. And that's great too. But it gets a little bit harder to find who you really love and who can relate to you. And then you made another good point, was authenticity. You can't fake it anymore. I guess you can. There's so many filters out there. And I posted today. I was like, Christmas pajamas, and someone commented. And I said, listen, it's okay. You can post something where you're not all dolled up all the time. And that should be how it is. Even on video, you can put a filter on now. So I don't know. And let's see, what else has changed on social media? What can you think of?
Well, okay. So you and I were both, and I want to get you talking about this because I know at one point this is a big part of what we were doing. Early on, it became kind of popular for optometry offices. To the people who own the offices, like, I don't really know what I'm doing. So you'd hire out your social media content creation.
Yes.
With how big a role video plays, I feel like that is straight up impossible to do any meaningful social media work if you were not creating your own content. But you have like a major content creation, I don't know, it's not even like a side hustle, like actual hustle, but you're helping other optometrists do that. I mean, how do you navigate that?
So again, like you said, because video is so prevalent, it's a little bit harder now. I do have content for every month and for special occasions as well, that are, everything's optometry or eye related. And then offices will purchase those. And then I'll say, post here, here, and here. There are other companies too have actually bought that content from me, and they post it for them too. It's exposure. Any kind of exposure is great. However, if an office can make a quick video themselves, again, it's just authenticity, that you're showing your potential patients. It's hard. You don't have time. Unless now people, what they're doing is when they hire an optician or hire a front desk, they are making sure that they have knowledge on social media so that they can also start posting for them. That's another way practices have been utilizing social media as well as their staff. I think that's important. I know at my office, I've been looking for people, staff members who also are are knowledgeable on social media so they can start posting. For Glam Baby, it's a different kind of business model. Instead of like Glamatometrist or Defocus Media or Idolatry Blog, it's a brand. Well, you guys are brands too, but you can purchase something off right. that. Off that. So you always want to be on top of the feed. You always want to be on people's minds. Learning how to do that was very different. But again, it's time consuming creating all that. And you just have to be on top of it. Even for my own practice right now, I haven't posted in forever on that. And I'm supposed to be the one who people are paying to.
It's hard to balance. You know, at one point I was looking at, and I had like six accounts I was trying to manage. I about pulled my hair out. But like four accounts that I was trying to manage and create content for. And at a certain point, it becomes impossible to do a good job at all of it. So I think you do have to look in the mirror and decide, okay, what is my specific brand identity that I'm going to be? Because I can't be the voice for so many different brands. It's just not realistic at a certain point.
Yeah, it's not. For Glam Baby, I've hired content creators actually to help with that because I can't be the face of everything, like you said, and I don't have time. I have a newborn.
You got a family.
it takes a lot of creativity from you and time management to make these things and make good things. So that's why I've hired content creators to make that for the brand.
I'm going to throw something out there. And I think, you know, again, like I've been so like 7 years ago, I was like, I think there'll be like a turn back to authentic, like people looking kind of messy, people being unfiltered. And I've been like wrong for like 7 years running. So take this with a grain of salt because I clearly don't know what's coming. But I truly think that there's a main place right now. Like, okay, so on your websites, great written articles. There is a massive shortage of good generated content now. And so I think if you were going to really, like, let's say your office or you're trying to get into an optometry influence space, another optometrist, start thinking about having good articles on a website as long form content generation, because I've seen where that kind of door is now kind of open again because there's been such a shift towards social media. So if you're creating good content in a place that Google can find you, that might actually be really advantageous.
Yes, definitely. I know for Glam Baby, and I've actually had you write a blog for it too. We are I'm constantly writing blogs, one, to get education out there, two, parents are constantly searching for these topics. It could be something fun like, oh, throw a Valentine basket together, put your Glam Baby in there, or, you know, your kid has a pterygium or a growth on their eye, what to do. These are things that people are looking for. And when they Google, it pops up. You know, but when you're Googling it, your reel is not going to pop up. So if it's actually things you want to get out there, yes, doing a blog space or creating content, not only that, media, like mass media will find those and they will find you.
Right.
And ask you to write articles for them. That's been big for me. And so I got verified on Instagram recently.
I noticed that.
Yeah. And everyone, I didn't say anything. And then I've had so many people, how did you get verified? How did you do this? And honestly, I think it's because of all the media that I've done, because people have reached out from the blog and said, can you contribute to this? Or what are your thoughts on this? And then they'll publish it. It's been published. And so from there, you know, you can just show your articles and you can get verified basically from that. So good point. Yes. I think putting out good written blogs about eye care or anything, you know, in your niche would be a good idea to set yourself apart. YouTube has been huge too. And TikTok. My brand has a TikTok. However, I have no idea how to use TikTok. I think I'm a little out of that generational zone, maybe. I don't know about you. I couldn't navigate through TikTok probably. And I don't like watching it.
Here's the thing. Like, I feel like TikTok obviously is the place to be. I have not the time in my life to want to do a new platform at this moment. Mm-hmm. I have a mother who is an Instagram influencer. Okay, so clearly Instagram is not where young people are. But that's where I currently am. And I will continue to be for the time being. And maybe when there's a next platform, I will make a jump. But I think I missed the TikTok boat personally. I'm never saying it's never too late, I suppose. But I just don't want to put any more of my time into social media right now.
Yes. And also, I don't want to waste my free time being on it and watching it.
Yes.
You know, I have like an hour at night to myself and I'm just going to watch trash TV. I mean,
that's fine. Like read a book. Like, I mean,
yes,
there's a lot of stuff that can enrich our lives. And each social media you add is like another time commitment or time suck, depending on how you want to look at it.
What I do love about Glam Optometrist is on the Instagram is I've met so many fun and wonderful people over the years and we've become friends.
Yeah.
And I've never met them in my life, but we send each other gifts, believe it or not, like other ODs, even non-ODs from across the world. That's something that I do love, is just making the connections with people. I don't know if the newer accounts are able to do that, but I know before you were able to make a stronger connection with your audience. That's one thing that I do miss when I'm not on there a lot. So, and I think I had mentioned, you know, I haven't been on Glam Optometrist a lot in the past 2 years, and it's because life happens.
Let's talk about what's happening in your life.
Oh, okay. So I just had a baby. I'm, you know, you know that, but it was a hard journey getting pregnant. And for the past 2.5, almost 3 years, you know, going through IVF, going through IUIs, it's been emotionally and physically very draining. And I didn't want to put that energy on social media. That's why I took a step back from Glam Optometrist and just focused on myself and my family. When you're not in a good place, sometimes it's hard to be posting all the time or watching other people's lives. So that's what happened. And I had a hard pregnancy and then I got a practice and all these things just started adding up. And again, it took away from my enjoyment of being online. It wasn't fun anymore. And I don't think you should do anything that's not fulfilling for yourself. But I am posting more now and, reconnecting just cause I'm in a better place, headspace, I would say. But yeah, so it's been great. The practice is running, not as efficiently, obviously, because I am not there. I was on bed rest since October. So I haven't been at the office and now, you know, I'm in maternity leave. But I'll be going back for a few days to do managerial things soon. My mom's like, you need to go back to work. I'm like, it's been a month since I had the baby.
Still take some more time. I think that would be appropriate still.
Also, I've been growing Glam Baby, which I've been working on this launch for 1.5 years, and it's finally here. And we're doing a soft launch just because of the time. You know, I have to balance everything. It was supposed to be ready in September. Learning now when you're creating products, it'll never be on time. So we pushed it to January, and I'm thrilled with it. I love it. Glam Baby is where my passion is at these days.
Well, I want to talk about the story of Glam Baby and kind of taking it back to like, how did it get started? Because you were Glam Optometrist.
Right.
And then you had a child. Like, so when did the idea of Glam Baby become born?
Everybody, when I got pregnant with Isabella in 2018, they're like, oh, your little Glam Baby's coming, because I was Glam Optometrist. And I said, I always wanted to make something. A product or something. I don't know if you know Dr. Gill, Dr. Tanya Gill. And when I was working with her, we would always say, we're going to come up with something. I mean, she has We Love Eyes. And I said, yeah, I want to put something out in the world where I can do it from anywhere and I just love it. And that's where Glam Baby came along. And I did see that there wasn't a niche for kids' eyes. The adult area is so saturated with different huge brands. We have Luxottica, we have Marchand, lenses and all that. And it needed to be a little bit more catered, I think, to the kids' space. So that's why I created initially the sunglasses, the UV protected. And the brand is all about education for prevention and protection. It's not just about selling products. I'm trying to teach people or parents why it's so important to start thinking about our kids' eyes. And from there is giving them really good quality products to do so. And that's where the blogs come in, the Instagram, just with a lot of educational content. And I think it's been going well. And like we kind of talked about before, is you put this content out there, is anyone even listening? But then I get DMs, I did take my kid to the optometrist and he needed glasses. That's why his eyes were watering, or that's why he had a headache. I love hearing things like that. Or now with the new products, there's ways to help clean your kid's eyes, treat your kid's eyes. And it shouldn't be a battle doing that. It should be easy. And I kind of call the new Glen Baby Eye Care Healthy Eyes Made Simple, because that's what we want when we're parents. We want simple things. But that's where the brand came from, was from Glen Optometrist, Glen Baby, and then sunglasses, blue lights, swim goggles, and now the eye care line, and kind of just broadening that as well. And exciting news is that one of the fastest growing pediatric companies is collaborating with me to do a whole month about kids' eyes.
Excellent. That's so great.
Yeah. So that's going to be in April, more information to come. But I think, again, when we're able to put that out there, it's getting noticed about the importance of the kids' protection and prevention, and more, there'll be more available outlets to educate our parents. Remember back in the day, I mean, we never wore sunscreen. No one told our parents to put sunscreen on us. And how come now we're like, oh, sunscreen, because people were talking about it. Well, we should start talking about our kids too, about their eyes, get their vision, stuff like that.
The passion for why Glen Baby is successful. I mean, it's so obvious, right? Like, this is a topic you're extremely passionate about. And so to create a brand around that is the absolute perfect fit for you. But then it's one of those things where, like, you have the creation, you know it's good, you know there's a place and need for it, but like, is it going to break through? Because that's where sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's a matter of bad luck, right? But, yeah. You know, obviously everything kind of started out with the kids' glasses line, like really glamorous child sunglasses, which is incredible. Obviously, my glam baby loves glamorous sunglasses too. So she's a big fan.
Daughter.
Yes. But I wanted to get, like, when was your breakthrough moment? Like, because I'm sure with any new business, there's this where it's like, is anyone paying any attention? I'm sweating and bleeding everywhere for this brand, and I don't even know if anyone's even like seen it before. But then there's a moment where you're like, it's breaking through. So
right. What was that? And that breakthrough moment actually comes in ebbs and flows, because you'll have a breakthrough moment, things will be going great, and in business, all of a sudden, you're like, what happened? Why am I not getting seen? Why are sales not great? And then something else will have a breakthrough. The first big breakthrough was the Nordstrom deal. And when Glam Baby, I was 9 months pregnant when I started Glam Baby. I only had 100 pieces. That's it. I think I had like 5 styles and 100 pieces. I wanted to start slow. I didn't want to, you know, put all my life savings into this, but I wanted to build it. And I remember I was shopping for my stroller at Nordstrom, and I had brought some of them with me. And I said, I just want to get your opinion on this from the manager there. And she's like, oh my gosh, I love it. I would want you to come and do a pop-up at our store. So she said, let's do it Labor Day weekend. Well, I was 4 or 3 weeks postpartum when she suggested I do this pop-up, and I was not going to not do it. So I brought Isabella, 3 weeks old, with me, my husband. I brought my pump, and we did it. We did the pop-up, and people loved it. I had a great support to come out locally, and I started doing more and more pop-ups at Nordstrom, and giving them a proof of concept that, hey, your customers love Glam Baby. And so January is when I was able to get connected with the accessories buyer there, and they ended up buying Glam Baby for Nordstrom. That was huge for me. It was maybe like just a couple months that the brand launched, and that went to Nordstrom, and that was, oh my gosh, that was a struggle learning. I would cry, sit at the computer and cry, because there's so much into retail. You have to learn what's called an EDI. You have to learn the shipping, and I had to do all of it. I still fulfill my own goods right now. I do have help sometimes, especially, you know, when I was giving birth or was on bed rest. I have someone come help me, but otherwise it's just me. And that was difficult, but you learn. Anything new, if you stick at it, you'll become good at it. That's what I say.
You and Daryl are two prime examples of like people who know that if you sit down and put your mind to it, you will be able to accomplish it. And like, I am the kind of person who's always like, oh, I don't know how to do that. So I'm like afraid to say that I will. But I think truly successful people say yes to opportunity and then put their bootstraps on and figure it out.
Yeah. And like you said, anyone can do it. You can do it. You just figure it out. On that note, it's so funny. I always do like little walls, you know, what is it called? Dream walls. And yeah. Like I have this one, like Shark Tank. Believe it or not, I'm going to get on this year. But anyways, you create these things and you put them out there and you just manifest and you just get down and do it. Easier said than done, of course. But you always figure out a way to get to your goal. Just have your goal.
So how do you manage the quality control? And like, there's so much going in, but like, so it's, you're designing frames, you're designing products, but you're not physically making them yourself. So how do you supervise and oversee that kind of stuff?
I learned a lot. And now what I do is when I curate the frames, be it blue light, be it sunwear or swim goggles, I have manufacturers that I love and I trust. I always do samples first. Right. I didn't used to do samples. And now even to this day, I'm stuck with some inventory of glasses that suck. And I just won't put it out there. But I'll pay a little bit extra to get samples. And then go from there and say, hey, I don't really like this part, or just scratch a frame altogether. It may have looked good on the computer, but it's definitely not something that I would want to sell or put out there. As far as the I care stuff, that was because it was so new to me. It was a lot of back and forth as far as getting the marketing right, getting the products right, making sure that the hypochlorous spray was something, you know, very pure and non-toxic, or even you know, getting the little baby eye mask. That was something that took, gosh, months to finally land on, like this design and having a gel insert, making sure that it was removable so kids are dirty. You want to wash this. It's all these little things that you need to think about, having an adjustable strap versus, you know, an elastic one. These are things that you learn as you go. It wasn't overnight. And I everything that is on the website or is for purchase, I've personally looked at and made sure that it's good quality. And I stand behind my products. If something happens, they contact me and we take care of it right away.
So how many times did Isabella get to try on the panda mask before she said, this is it, mommy?
Gosh. Well, so many times. Only that I let her like help me like choose, hey, do you like these? You know, my clientele. Especially now she's a little bit older and she definitely has an opinion. And she's a very glam girl. She's a very girly girl. And then I have lots of friends with kids. So I'll send them things too. And I say, hey, can you have Layla choose which one she likes best? Or if it's a boy product, same thing. I definitely want the input of the children as well as the parents. Because I remember I wanted something unisex for the mask. And so I have asked all my mom friends, I need a unisex, you know, here's a bunch of the ones that I've chosen. You know, which one would you get for your boy and girl? And so a lot of input from them, which I think that helps.
Oh yeah. I mean, so smart. And like you said, we live in a world where our children have extreme opinions. So going to the source, like the kids will tell you what's comfortable, what's not comfortable, what they like, what they don't like. They will not put it on if they do not like it. Like you've got under plenty of people giving you some great feedback if you've got a circle of friends with kids. So I want to talk a little bit about the product line. I have the products in my box here. And you were showing off the heat mask, which obviously has all those great features that you were talking about, where you can clean it, you can adjust the straps. The panda The fur is very soft, by the way. My daughter really loved that. So comfy.
Good, good.
This is great for like a kid that has a sty or swelling around the eyelid, because it could be heat or cool.
Correct. It could be for meibomian gland dysfunction, dryness, even for allergies. You can put it in the freezer or cool it down and kind of give them that relief that they like. So, and as well, because it comes with the eye cleansing spray, you can use that for the allergies and the MGD and dry eyes as well. I'll probably put that in a new box though and remarket it.
So I want to talk about the cleansing spray, because I was super thrilled that you went with the hypochlorous acid spray. How did you decide what product you wanted for your eyelid cleanser? Because, I mean, it's not the only option out there.
Right, it's not. I'll tell you, I've done a lot of research. There's like this one, which is the wipes, and that's catered to children. But that company they don't just do eye care. They do a weird range of things. And I don't want to purchase something that's not in the field or not, knowledgeable. I went with the hypochlorous because kids are not going to sit there. Kids are not going to let you wash their eyes. And we don't want to use baby shampoo. So imagine your kid has dirty eyes, or they have a sty, or they have conjunctivitis, blepharitis, and then now you have to wash it or wipe it. No. That's not going to happen. So I wanted something that was quick, sting-free, which this is sting-free, which is going to help kill the bacteria and the virus, not just clean it. So simple. We needed something simple on the market for our children and to market it like that. Hypochlorous is out there, but nothing is marketed towards children and the ease of why it's so easy to use. Again, I market this that you don't need to wipe it off. You can just spray it. Or the best part is, if you have a child who's really wild or is not going to sit still for you and doesn't want to use it while they're sleeping, spray it on. Their eyes are closed. They're not going to feel it, which is nice. And you can even wipe it. Aston, my 1-month-old, he had conjunctivitis. And when he was sleeping, I would just spray it on a cotton ball and wipe it. It was fine. It's not going to bother him. He's not going to notice. That's why I went with the hypochlorous. Sting-free, toxic-free, wipe-free.
I love it. I think marketing it with a packaging that's kid friendly, because when you look at hypochlorous acid sprays that we may have in our office, even though we know it's non-toxin, it's like the safest thing. Like, I would spray it on a newborn baby personally. I'm not telling you. I feel completely safe about recommending it to anyone at any age, but the name itself, hypochlorous acid, and the packaging that it is in, and most of the offices, doesn't necessarily look kid friendly. Like, you would question yourself as a parent, I think, before you went to go spritz your child in the face. So I love, sometimes there is power in the branding saying, hey, this is made for kids, to reassure the parent, like, yes, please use this.
Yeah. And it has the word acid in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, but it actually occurs in our body, but it's just a scary word, especially for parents. Oh no, it's going to burn. You think. Mm-hmm. Of acid, but this doesn't. So I don't play up the word hypochlorous acid. I just say cleansing spray, but of course the ingredients are written right here for you. And then it'll say tear-free, cruelty-free, vegan, non-toxic. So again, it's just how you say it. And there are the same things on the market, but what's gonna get picked up by a parent more? One of those or something with a kid's face. I don't know if you can see that, but one with a kid's face on it.
No, I think that's really genius. And some of the stuff that does say for kids out there, products that I had used or recommended in the past, as we've learned more, as we know more about ingredients, there are ingredients that now as a mom, like given a choice, I would want to avoid and that I don't directly recommend for my patients anymore that still have like baby labels on them. So I think it's great to have something with a baby label on it that I actually think is safe for babies.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want anything with surfactants in them or things that are just going to create more problems than actually help fix the one that the child has.
Right.
Yeah. And then putting on there, created by mom and optometrist, I think that has a lot of value when a parent is looking for something to treat their child with.
And then the other product is your tear duct massager, which is a silicone massager. you know, as optometrists, we get asked this a lot by our parents. Like, it's a relatively common issue. Usually they are seeing their pediatrician or an MD and not necessarily coming into optometry offices for this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes they feel like they're not getting the answers that they want, because these can be pretty chronic and hard to resolve. So you'll sometimes see someone who's like been to an ophthalmologist, feel like it's not getting better, and now wants a second opinion. So how did you come upon this design for a massager?
So researching, you know, main topics that parents were having difficulties with when it comes to the eyes in their kids, this was a huge one. Yep. And the age ranges from newborn all the way into 6, 7, 8 years old, where they might need surgery at that point. We want to prevent that from happening. So how I came up with this design is, no one has this. There is no, nothing on the market that really is tailored to tear ducts when I was doing my research. So I wanted to do something where it would really help get in between here and be soft and gentle, where you can clean it. I love telling parents if they also have the goo, because if it's blocked, they sometimes get goo, you could use the eye cleansing spray in addition. So I wanted something soft that really just fits right in here on a child. And you don't need to push, you don't need to really like get in there. You just very lightly, I mean, you touch it, it's so soft.
Very
just,
soft.
Yeah, very lightly go like this. That's all, back and forth, kind of like a rock, like a cradling, I would say. Instead of using our finger, which, what if you have nails? The mama has nails. They're dirty. Nails are dirty. We want to make sure it's the most hygienic way of cleansing, of massaging and cleansing that area as possible, as a food grade silicone. So that's how I came up with the design. It took a lot of back and forth to get it right, but I think it's a wonderful, it ended up being a wonderful design. And it has a little case, you know, if you want to keep it on the go or just keep it clean after you wash it. But again, that was a huge complaint that parents were having. It was about the tear ducts, them getting clogged, what to do besides a finger massage. So you could even use your breast milk with the finger massage. You can, you know, place a couple drops and then also start massaging too, or the cleansing spray.
Right. So you've got all those great anti-inflammatory mediators and
yes, and the rest of the exactly. And it's natural. It comes from mama. So why not, you know, be able to use that?
But, you know, clearly people listening to this can tell there's a ton of research that you've done behind what was underserved markets, what are parents needing. So how can I help fill those needs? And now you've got these products that are launching. How do they get access to them? Where can they learn more about the products and maybe carry them in their office?
So you can visit the website, officialglambaby.com. Oh, see, Dr. Lily put it there. And you click the wholesale site to go to the wholesale if you want to buy this. And then packs of 12. And I could just show you right now on my phone when you go to it what it looks like. So you go to Glam Baby Eye Care, and then you'll click on that, and it'll take you there. And then the code is Glam Baby with a big G, big B, 2020 to get into the wholesale. Or you can email Official Glam Baby, and I can walk you through it, or you can DM me also. I have a couple offices carrying it now because I opened it up to our VIP wholesalers first, for them to have access, because for this first launch, I did a limited quantity. Again, it's just for what if I want to change things. I want to get it on the market first and see what needs to be revisited. And so it's a smaller batch this time, and I wanted to offer it to them first, but it's offered to everybody now. And for retail, if your child's having any of these problems, you just go on the website. You can go on Amazon too. Amazon has it. Sometimes you want that 2-day shipping. These are need-based products. Right. So if a child is having a product, you need it now, it's nice to have it on Amazon. However, I feel like everybody should have the Eye Boogie spray in their kid's first aid kit. It should just be there.
Yeah. If you're a parent and you don't have hypochlorous acid spray at your house, I feel for you, because what is essential parenting tool? We spray it almost every day at my house. I mean, I when I come in from the office, wash my hands, obviously, and I immediately spray myself down with hypochlorous acid spray. Because, like, I don't know what kind of germs I've been around. And then I have a kid at daycare. What kind of, she's bringing home a bunch of germs. Like, we are a germ factory.
Right. So, you said there was hand and foot recently at your daycare. And
there was. Yeah. I got the notice yesterday. We're spraying like nuts.
Yeah. You got it. You just said it. I keep it in my purse or in the car when we get, right when we get in, all over. So this product, definitely I would keep on hand all the time. But like the unbearable bump, if your child has a sty or dry eyes, that's something that you can pick up as needed, as well as the tear duct massager. So good news, I have a meeting with Target next week. Fingers crossed, we'll see what happens, because I feel like the more readily available it is and in places, people would be able to pick it up much quicker, because you need it then and there. So Amazon, you can go to Glam Baby, official Glam Baby or Glam Baby. I have my own brand page there, and you can find all the products on there as well. And I would love reviews. If you guys ever get it and put a review, that's wonderful. That's how you get seen on Amazon. Amazon's a beast.
Gosh, it is just incredible, the conversations that you're sharing, these little insights into what it's truly like to run this major business, meeting with the buyers for Nordstrom, for Target, these like national, international brands, Amazon, you got your products on. Like, you guys know there's a lot of back end work happening to make this happen.
Yeah.
So, applause to you.
Trial and error. I do want to tell everybody, never give up. I remember, even to this day, when I'm contacting buyers to buy stuff, even if we've worked with each other, you're literally chasing them down for weeks. I emailed someone 12 weeks for 12 weeks every week. Hey, do you want to get this? Hey, are you ready to get this? And finally, at that moment of the 12th week, they said, yeah, here's my order. So just never give up. That's one thing I want to tell people, as well as, you know, one door closes, another one opens. I remember I was feeling pretty down. We were talking about those, you know, aha business moments. I was feeling down. Sales weren't really good. And I was just like on bed rest. And then Macy's hit me up. I didn't even look for Macy's. Macy's like, hey, we want to carry you. And bam, what, the door opened. And, you know, we have some of, I have some of my products on Macy's. The funny thing is they were supposed to carry 20 SKUs, including sunglasses and blue light. And we went through, we started everything on the onboarding. And then the buyer messages me and says, I completely forgot that we have a non-compete with Sunglass Hut. Mm-hmm. So Luxottica is, I'm competing with Luxottica. I would never think that would happen in my life.
Incredible, right?
So we only ended up doing the swim goggles because they had a non-compete with Sunglass Hut. But that's kind of cool. It was sad that we couldn't put all of them, but I was like, hey, if I'm competing with Luxottica, I'll take it.
You know what? It is like a almost like a I arrived moment, even though it's sort of bad news. It's all about your perspective.
Exactly. All about your perspective, and always keep a positive mind and never give up. Those are some takeaways I would love for everybody to take home with them in any aspect of their life, be it their practice, be it their home life, or their business.
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story today. I know you inspired a lot of people, and your words of advice to just like be yourself, create what you're passionate about, and leave those doors open to opportunity. I think we can all take away and learn from. If you guys aren't following already, the Instagram handle is at Glam Optometrist and at Official Glam Baby. And you can see all these great products that she is talking about on her website that we have the ticker with.
Thank you so much, Jen. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you. We are going to be at SECO.
Yeah, that last plug. Join us at SECO for the 100 year anniversary.
Yeah,
Daryl's gonna be there. I know a lot of you guys are gonna be there. We're gonna be talking about together the state of social media influence in the industry, and bringing some of these discussions of what it's been like for us and what we see coming forward to that roundtable. So I can't wait to see you guys there in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm excited to do my first in person in about 3 years. So
me too.
Has it been that long for you as well?
I mean, we had a baby and then COVID, which it all just feels like the same thing, basically. So,
yeah. So I'm very excited to get out there and actually put cute clothes on and talk and meet people. I will have a booth there. Glam Baby's going to have a booth. Come and stop by and come and check out our panel too. It should be a fun one. As someone that taken the leap of faith in my last days when I needed to hear that. Oh, yeah, never give up, Heather. Just go for it.
And Heather, we appreciate that.
All right, everybody. We're going to let this live here, right?
Yes, you can check back. This will also be on defocusmedia.com and on our YouTube page. And so you guys can get inspired whenever you want. We'll see you on the next show, okay?
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.